We ready?
Oh, yeah.
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
You are now on the clock with Matt Geiger on Ignotainment Media Network.
Hello, everybody. My name is Matt Geiger, and you are now on the clock with me, Matt Geiger, on Ignotainment Media Network. I am joined today in studio by my co-host, Iron Mike.
Behind the glass.
Iron Mike is not behind glass. He's sitting right next to me. We're coming to you from the armpit of New Jersey, a.k.a. Middletown, Homedale. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff today. We're going to get you caught up from the entire offseason. We got some highlights from every team, some injury reports. And I am going to lose my shit when it comes to one specific team. And just real quick, we want to say thank you to DJ Illegal for our awesome intro music. And we want to say thank you to the people at Ignotainment for giving me a podcast and letting me talk about football. So hopefully everybody's going to listen to it. Where are we going first, Mike?
We're going to Philly first.
Let's go to
Philadelphia
Philly.
Eagles.
What do we got?
All right, so.
Off-season story number one.
You think he's a secret genius or a mad scientist?
Chip Kelly. Let's see. What has Chip Kelly done this off-season? First and foremost, he made a trade sending Nick Foles to the St. Louis Rams, my St. Louis Rams. In return, he received the no-knee cartilaged Sam Bradford. There was also some draft picks swapped in there. As far as this trade goes, I really don't see it being anything special for the Eagles. They had Sanchez. Sanchez was a productive quarterback for them. His numbers weren't awful, you know. They missed the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe they did.
But they had a 10-6 record. The trade, I think that the Rams were the real winners of the trade because Nick Foles had one bad year. He was injured, and they were ready to jump ship on him. I guess he's just not a Chip Kelly guy. Which we've seen to be something that is a big influence on how he's shaping his roster. He traded LeSean McCoy to Buffalo in exchange for Kiko Alonso, who's a pretty good linebacker. And the original thoughts on the trade were that he didn't want to pay a running back that much money, that any running back could be successful in his system. But then he turned around and he brought in Ryan Matthews and the NFL's leading rusher last year, DeMarco Murray. So it clearly wasn't an issue of not paying a running back that much money. It was more of an issue of either LeSean McCoy not getting along with people on the team or not agreeing with the coaches.
Maybe his style of running.
He did see a decline in his numbers from the previous year. You have his numbers pulled up?
That he did. He had almost 300 less yards rushing, 4 less touchdowns rushing.
And his receiving numbers dropped dramatically.
His receiving numbers did drop. They dropped almost 400 yards.
So it's either something in production or, like I said, the fact that he just wasn't picking up there. Injury notes for the Eagles. There aren't too many major notes, right?
Nah.
Ja'Cory Shepherd has a torn ACL. He was one of their backup cornerbacks. And Zach Ertz is nursing a groin injury, but he should be ready to go for week one. Let's keep it firing. Let's go to the next team.
Next team is the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, boy.
New head coach,
Jim Tomsula. He was the linebackers coach, I believe. San Fran kind of swung and missed on everything after Harbaugh left. They were looking to bring in a defensive-minded coach. They wind up with Tom Sula, who they promoted from in-house, but I think they missed out on guys like Todd Bowles, who's with the Jets, Dan Quinn, who's with the Falcons. Just a forewarning for all the listeners out there, I'm probably going to curse, and I guess if you don't like that, then we might have to start adding some...
Close your ears.
Yeah, or we'll just start adding some bleeps if you guys don't like that. So let's get back to the Niners. The big offseason, that's the big offseason note. We have Patrick Willis, who retired after 8 seasons. Justin Smith retired after 15 seasons. Willis retired. He was having some serious issues with a turf toe injury. And I think he was quoted saying, "I'm going to be able to walk when I'm done playing football." Other than those guys, then you see a guy like Anthony Davis, former Rutgers offensive tackle, and Chris Borland, who was a rookie last year, retired. Davis after 4 seasons, Borland after 1 season. Mike, do you think it's something with the franchise itself in San Fran, or do you think it's just these guys are realizing that there's life after football?
I think it's just realizing there's life after football. It's not everything to everyone.
Right, and Chris Borland in an interview said he was suffering from concussions. He knows he had at least one during his rookie year. He remembers the play. He doesn't remember very much after, but he convinced the team, if I'm not mistaken, that he was fine and he actually finished out the game. But once again, Chris Borland, from listening to him talk, God knows I haven't spoken to him personally because I'm a nobody. But just listening to him talk, he sounds like a smart guy. He understands that, you know, he went to college, he got a degree, he can use his brain instead of his body. And if he uses his body first and then tries to use his brain, there might be long-lasting effects to that.
He was a good football player.
He was a great football player.
Good rookie season.
Also, Aldon Smith, released by the Niners after a hit-and-run DUI and vandalism charges. One thing I will note to the listeners, we are not going to talk about off-the-field issues. I'm not going to give you my moral opinion on anything because nobody really cares. What I will do is I will report the news and talk about how it's going to affect the team. So as far as the Niners go, they're losing arguably one of the best pass rushers in the league over the last 2 or 3 years. He's been suspended before because he's an idiot, but who's the next guy up? How do they replace productivity for a guy like Aldon Smith? I know Ahmad Brooks has been taking a lot of snaps, learning some of the different schemes from all their positions, trying to learn some pass rushing technique and stuff like that. He wasn't really a major pass rusher, but I think they want him to step into the role.
He's got 44 career sacks, Aldon Smith, in his career. 4 years.
4 years. So he was averaging 11 sacks a year, which, granted, he missed games in
the last 2 years.
So 44 sacks over, even if it's just 2.5.
50 games.
Over 50 games is an amazing number. Who's on the roster that's gonna replace him?
Well, there's a bunch of young guys, mostly people that our listeners may or may not have heard from. You have a rookie, first round pick this year from Oregon, Eric Armstead.
Eric Armstead, he's a physical specimen. He doesn't necessarily fit the style of play that they're looking for. He was drafted as a defensive tackle. He's not a huge run stopping guy. I could see him coming onto the field for more pass rushing downs, which would give them some of the productivity. But one of the articles that I wrote for my blog, which you guys can find at themgfootball.blogspot.com, going into the draft, I had some busts, some breakouts, potential superstars, stuff like that. I had Armstead on my bust list. I think he was drafted too high. I think he's too much of a tweener type player. And he didn't have a really good senior year in college. I think he had like 3 sacks. And especially in the Pac-12, is that what they're called now?
I believe so.
Especially in that division, you know, in that division of college football,
sacks.
He could have been way more productive. Darnell Dockett came from Arizona. He could make an impact. He's getting a little older.
He was mostly on the field for third downs.
So he's primarily a pass rusher. So they're doing a decent job at bringing guys in to fill in for the pass rushing. You also have Lawrence Okoye. You have...
He was a British discus thrower, signed 2 years ago.
All right, and that means absolutely nothing to
him. No, I mean, he's progressing. He played a lot on Saturday over the weekend, and he played
is
well.
Is he a rookie?
No, he's a third-year guy.
He's a third-year guy. I've never heard of him.
And he was on the IR in the practice squad the last 2 years.
So they're going to put a guy from the IR to replace a perennial All-Pro.
No, this guy has been scouted, along with Mike Purcell. Those guys will mean something down the road for this young team.
Show me first, and then I'll buy into it. Who we got on the gate next?
Next up is the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about Buffalo and how god-awful their quarterbacks are going to be this year. The main thing that I'm interested in is exactly what's going to happen with their quarterbacks. They brought in Rex Ryan. They weren't happy with the regime that they had. They have new coordinators. They brought in the guy that punched Geno Smith in the mouth and broke his jaw. Pulled the trigger on Percy Harvin. They signed Richie the Bully Incognito. And... they bring in LeSean McCoy. I mean, there's nothing really else to talk about.
It was an active offseason.
It was.
They drew in a lot of fans. They sold a lot of season tickets.
It's the Rex Ryan show. I mean, the team isn't good. Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback.
When you bring in a player like LeSean McCoy, they haven't seen anything like that since Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. You know, they only had Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, and that worked out well for them.
They're not great players.
I feel bad for one person on that entire roster, and his name is Sammy Watkins, because there's literally nobody on the ball that on the field that could throw him the ball.
Nope.
And I'm done with them.
The New England Patriots are next.
Let's talk about the Deflategate. Everybody's heard about it. My mom knows what it is, so you know it's a big story.
Does she?
Yeah, she does. Listen, the only thing that I want to talk about is whether or not Brady's going to get suspended. I don't care if he deflated balls or not. The NFL doesn't have enough evidence to incriminate him, which is why the Patriots and Tom Brady and his lawyers aren't settling. The NFL just needs to come out and say, look, we don't have enough evidence. We're going to cut it short. We're going to launch an investigation. We're going to figure out if the PSIs in the balls affects or doesn't affect the game or how you can throw a ball or whatever. There's no set standard in the NFL right now on whether or not PSI is going to affect the balls. There's a set standard on where the PSIs have to be before the game starts, but they don't know if that's gonna sway the game. Brady's next hearing is set for the 31st.
Of August.
If the two sides don't have anything worked out before the start of the season, Brady is probably going to file and
get the injunction
so he could play while the case is being sorted out. I fully expect Tom Brady to play week one. I don't see there being any way he doesn't. They don't have the evidence.
We'll find out in 6 days.
Plain and simple. Move to the next team.
Next team is the Dallas Cowboys.
Dez Bryant signed a new contract. Moved to the next team.
Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle.
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham. They pulled the trigger. They weren't looking, I guess, to sign Jimmy Graham long term, they were looking to make a long term change at tight end. They needed more weapons for Russell Wilson. The receivers they had weren't anything special. Max Unger was looking for a big payday, so they wound up trading him and a first round pick to get Jimmy Graham. And if you ask me, I think it was a smart move, because where they were picking in the draft this year, there really wasn't too much talent. So to get a guy like Jimmy Graham, who would have been, if you put him in the draft this year, a top five pick, I think it was a brilliant move. Some injury notes from
Seattle.
We have Earl Thomas, questionable for week one. He had shoulder surgery in the offseason. They don't know if he's going to play. Paul Richardson is recovering from a torn ACL. That doesn't matter because who the hell's Paul Richardson? I think the other big thing we have to talk about is Cam Chancellor's holdout.
That is correct.
I have read, and I'm going to try to pull this article up. I'm sure Mike's going to pull it up too. Fullback Michael Robinson has come out and said that Cam Chancellor is the type of player that's going to stick to his word. So if the Seahawks don't work out this contract, Cam Chancellor is going to sit out until they do have a contract, and that could be the whole season. That's going to have a big impact on their defense. I don't care what anybody says about Richard Sherman. I don't care what anybody says about Bobby Wagner. Cam Chancellor is the best player on that defense.
Right now they are on day 26.
Day 26.
Of the holdout.
Of the holdout. Cam Chancellor hasn't reported.
He's losing $30,000 for each day missed.
And
they could recoup $250,000 of his signing bonus as well.
Robinson said that Chancellor believes he should be making more than 4.55, which is the base salary he's due this season. Robinson also said people have to understand Cam is not only a leader on this defense, he's a team leader. He's the guy that Pete Carroll can go to and be able to talk to, a guy like Marshawn Lynch. So he's the one that's – he's kind of like their mediator. He's in between the coaches and the players. They need to get this guy under contract. They need to get him on the field. If not, week one could be a question mark. So let's move to the next team there.
Next team is the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm not talking about Adrian Peterson. He got a new contract. Next team.
Okay. That was fast. The Green Bay Packers. Big news.
There wasn't big news until Sunday when Jordy Nelson tore his ACL, or what they're saying is a significant injury, knee injury. They're not calling it a torn ACL. If you haven't seen the play, it was a non-contact injury. He jumped up, caught a ball, made a quick cut, and immediately went to the ground. The impact of that, probably more fantasy football than anything.
Mostly, yes.
The thing that you're going to see now, Randall Cobb is going to inherit more, if not the same amount of targets that Jordy Nelson got. Devontae Adams will slide into the wide receiver 2 role. Ty Montgomery is a rookie receiver that they brought in. They like him. He's probably going to take over in the slot. And then they have a white guy that they like too. Another white guy. All right. We're coming up to a team right now that I want Mike to officially put me on the clock for because I'm tired of their shit. Mike's going to give me 5 minutes to go on a rant here.
About the New York Giants.
So let's get right into it because the Giants pissed me off. The problem I have with the Giants, I'm going to read you their injury report. So, Mykel Thompson, injury reserve, torn Achilles. Victor Butler, suspended. Will Beatty, torn pectoral. Victor Cruz, offseason patellar tear. He should be ready for week one. Jason Pierre-Paul blew his finger off in a fireworks accident. That's something I'll talk about as soon as I'm done with this rant. John Beason, questionable, suffered a sprained knee. Jameel McClain suffered a neck injury. Bennett Jackson, good friend of the podcast, torn ACL, if I'm not mistaken. Bad knee injury.
Correct.
Okay? That's half the list. Why are these guys still on the field in the third or fourth quarter of the second preseason game? The Giants are paper thin at second in their secondary. They had to bring in Brandon Merriweather, okay? They have 4, I believe, safeties that are out with injuries right now. Some of them aren't on the injury report because they're not even really on the roster, but these guys were going to get playing time. You put a guy like Bennett Jackson on the field, okay? He had a major surgery last year. He was shut down for the season. Works his way back onto the field. He's playing cornerback and safety to give you depth. He's competing for a starting spot. I understand you want to give the kid playing time, but he's going to be on the field for you when the season starts. Who are your other safeties? Then you look at a guy like John Beason, a veteran player who played longer than he should have, and he got hurt. These guys are going to get shut down for the whole year. They're going to become paper thin. I don't know if it's the training staff that they have there, if it's the conditioning that they're doing, the type of workouts they're doing, or something else. The problem I'm having, and tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, is there's a lot of guys that shouldn't be on this field in the third and fourth quarters, especially if they're going to be starters.
You are totally correct.
And real quick, we'll touch on JPP. Listen, you're an idiot if you're lighting your own fireworks and you're a multimillionaire, okay? There's a fuse on it, whatever.
There's a lot of money on that team.
There's a lot of money on the line. You pay somebody to blow their hand off, not yours. We're not talking about that. The problem with JPP is the Giants can rescind the franchise tender that they offered him. He hasn't signed it yet. That can go one of two ways, and I believe they both benefit JPP, and I think Mike's going to argue against me on this. But JPP hasn't signed the franchise tender. The reason he did that was because he didn't want the Giants to place him on the PUP list. He wanted to come in healthy and be able to play right away. If he signed that tender, the Giants would have put him on the PUP list, and they wouldn't have had to pay him for the first 6 weeks of the season. Okay? The other way that works is if the Giants aren't happy with the progress he's made since he left the team and they've had very limited contact, the Giants can rescind that franchise tender and he's a free agent. Okay? They can offer him less money. If I was JPP, I'd take that as a spit in the face. And I would say, you know what? That franchise tender was on the table. You won't let me sign it. You want to offer me less money? Screw you. I'm going somewhere else. And that's that.
I don't think anybody else will take him.
You don't think anybody else will take?
I don't think anybody else will take a guy with less than 10 fingers.
Tampa Bay might. They had another guy blow some fireworks off.
To me, it's just a knucklehead move. He needs to learn his lesson. I don't think anybody will sign him this year if the Giants don't.
All right. So to go along with those injuries, Will Beattie was the starting left tackle. He had the torn pec. Rookie Ereck Flowers should be slated to slide over to the left side. That could be a problem for Eli. The other thing I wanted to talk to, and I'll ask Mike this question. Do you think Odell Beckham will continue his success with a banged up offensive line, Victor Cruz back, more weapons in the running game? You know, there's a lot more moving parts now. Do you think his numbers will be better than last year? Because he only played 12 games, I think. He missed 6 games.
He came back week 9, I believe.
Okay. So if you look at his numbers, he was one of the best receivers in the league, and he missed a substantial amount of time.
Correct.
Even if you take those numbers and spread them over a full 16-week season, it's still a very, very productive year. At the very least, if there's a slight drop-off, I still think he's one of the best receivers in the league. I'd say top 10. And I really don't see any way anybody can argue against that. Let's go to the next team.
Next team, the Denver Broncos.
Denver brings in a new head coach. Gary Kubiak comes back. He brings with him Owen Daniels, whom he loves. I'm sure Peyton Manning is going to like him. Peyton Manning had some issues towards the end of the year. It was a quad injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Demaryius Thomas has been quoted saying that this is the hardest he's ever felt Peyton throw the ball, and that last year he couldn't lean into his passes when he was releasing them. He couldn't put pressure forward, so there wasn't as much zip on it. Listen, with the way the running game worked last year, I don't think Peyton has to throw the ball that much anymore. I think they could be a productive offense. They won't have to throw as much. Kubiak's not rolling out his full offense yet. He said he wants Peyton to feel comfortable.
If they can get the running game working, they already lost one lineman to an injury. You know, Kubiak comes in from Baltimore last year, correct?
Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator from last season.
Yes, you know, they ran the ball well a lot. He's his own styled coach.
And if anybody benefits from that, you would think it's C.J. Anderson.
Well, I think it's Peyton Manning.
From the zone scheme?
From
a new offensive coordinator.
New offensive coordinator who's planning to run the ball.
It relieves the pressure off of Peyton, opens up play action. One thing we will note, I think the biggest move in the offseason for them was that Julius Thomas left for Jacksonville, and he broke his hand in the first preseason game, Julius Thomas, but he should be ready for Jacksonville.
He should
week
be ready
one.
Week one.
Next team up.
New Orleans Saints.
What do we got with the Saints?
What do we have with the Saints? Well, obviously, you stated already they made a trade with the Seahawks.
Right. They released Junior Gallette, who is one of their premier pass rushers. Listen, if you look at Junior Gallette compared to some of the other pass rushers in the league, he's not shit. He's nothing. I believe Washington signed him. We'll see if we can confirm that in a second.
They lost Kenny Stills.
They lost Kenny Stills to Miami. They moved him in a trade. Let's see. Pierre Thomas isn't back. They bring in C.J. Spiller, who could be a dynamic playmaker for them. I think a majority of the offense is going through Mark Ingram this year. I think he's going to run the ball a lot. And I was correct. Junior Gallette was released, and he signed with the Redskins. I think the big question mark is still the defense. They've made some improvements, but
in the running game.
In the running game. Defensively, though, the pick they got in the trade from Seattle, they used on a middle linebacker. His name's slipping my mind right now. I had this guy with a early fourth round draft grade, and it was a reach. They wasted the pick that they got from moving Jimmy Graham, and they brought in a guy on defense who they could have gotten in the third or fourth round. When you're looking at that defense, what names pop out to you, Mike?
The rookie you were thinking of is Stephon Anthony.
Clemson. From Clemson. He was a productive player. I don't necessarily think, and I'll probably be proven wrong because I'm usually wrong about this shit 30-40% of the time. I don't think his productivity is going to translate well to the NFL. Other than, like I said, it's going to be a struggling defense. Drew Brees is going to have to carry that team again along with the running game.
He looked good so far this preseason.
And the two tight ends there, Ben Watson and
Josh Hill,
are going to have to fill in the blank spaces for them with Jimmy Graham gone. Brandon Cooks is one of my favorite receivers in the league, but him and Marcus Colston can only do so much, and Colston is an old, slow idiot.
Look for him to bounce back this year.
What? You heard that first. Iron Mike thinks Marcus Colston's going to be an all-pro. All right, so let's go to Tampa Bay and Tennessee. Drafted two rookie quarterbacks back-to-back, first overall and second overall. Tampa Bay beefed up their line in the draft. They've had some injuries, which could be a concern. And we're going to look at that right now. Tampa Bay lost DeMar Dotson for the year. He's gone for 6 to 10 weeks with a strained MCL. The reason we're bringing that up is because they are moving a rookie offensive lineman who is probably going to play right tackle to left tackle. And that's going to be a problem because you're protecting a rookie quarterback. He's going to make mistakes. Donovan Smith is an offensive tackle drafted out of Penn State. He was, I believe, a second-round pick. They have Logan Mankins, who fell off the ship a little bit. The rest of their line is kind of up in the air. Jameis is going to struggle. All rookies do. Peyton Manning, it took 2 or 3 years to learn his offense before he became the Peyton Manning that everybody knows now. I'm not saying that Jameis Winston is going to be Peyton Manning. I don't think he'll be anything close to that. I don't think he's going to be a good pro at all, but he's going to struggle in his first year. Same thing with Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. He's going to struggle as well. They've seen their struggles in the preseason so far. Winston hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet. He has two rushing touchdowns. And then we go to Tennessee.
Some news on Monday. Jason McCourty, surgery.
I just saw this right now. He's expected to miss around 3 games. I guess they're going to reevaluate him. He had surgery, so they want to see, you know, how the stitches are going, how he's coming back. He's with the groin injury, the thing is, he could probably start running not too far after the stitches get removed. But you have to be careful because a groin injury is something that's irritated easily. Anything else in Tennessee that we want to talk about?
Tennessee, no. Mariota.
They're god awful. Bishop Sankey,
a rookie running back.
Again. Bishop Sankey should be working at 7-Eleven, and I think David Cobb could be a good running back. So let's go to the next team.
Next team is the Kansas City Chiefs.
What do we got in Kansas City, Iron Mike?
Jeremy Maclin was added over the offseason.
All right, Jeremy Maclin added in the offseason. And that's it.
That's about it. Dwayne Bowe left. He went to Cleveland.
Dontari Poe is expected to miss a few games. He had back surgery in the offseason. He had a herniated disc. That could be a big blow to them. He's been a force. He's a huge dude. I met him at the NFL draft. He was the size of me and two of my friends. I mean, that's it. Andy Reid's fat.
That's wrong.
The Walrus.
Next up, Houston Texans.
Houston's on Hard Knocks.
Have you watched it?
I have. I love it. Let me just tell you, if you don't know J.J. Watt's a freak athlete, just watch the damn show. I watched him launch a football from the field into the second level. Perfect spiral, perfect accuracy. He was throwing the ball to a fan on the second level. Absolutely launched it. The only other time I've ever seen that was Michael Vick in the Powerade commercial, and that was CGI. Do you remember that commercial?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, you suck.
News today in Houston, 2 hours ago, Chris Myers retires.
Yes, Chris Myers, 13-year veteran, I believe.
10-year.
10-year veteran. Retired. He was a staple to their running game. He's been there, I believe, his whole career.
I believe so, too.
He's big, especially since a guy like Arian Foster, who we should be talking about, injured his groin. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, they're saying, is the timetable for a return.
That's optimistic.
Potentially, he could only wind up missing a game or two. If he does miss more, then you're going to have to see productivity from guys like Alfred Blue.
Terrible.
From Chris Polk. Hilliard, the rookie that they drafted from LSU. They have two LSU running backs. They also just announced that Brian Hoyer is going to be their starter to open the season up.
Beating out Ryan Mallett.
He beat out Ryan. Ryan Mallett has a better arm, but I think Hoyer is a better decision maker. And people are talking a lot of crap saying that these two guys are garbage. Listen, they're not much worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Iron Mike, the Jets fan, will tell you how excited he is to have Fitzpatrick on his team.
I'm thrilled. He's a smart guy, not only because he went to Harvard, but he doesn't turn the ball over much compared to quarterbacks the Jets have had in the past.
Like Glassjaw Geno.
Well, you want to talk about that now since we're on it?
Because, yeah, let's go to the Jets.
Because last year, Geno Smith had 16 interceptions, 25 in 2013. Last year, Fitzpatrick... only 9 turnovers in 12 games. Doesn't sound great, but it's a lot better than Geno Smith.
It's a huge improvement. The thing I will say is Geno did end the season on a pretty good note.
He did. He finished very
strong. If you
want
to pull up those splits, I'll go through some off-season notes from New York. New York re-signed Antonio Cromartie, re-signed Darrell Revis.
They
brought them back.
They were gone for
They signed Buster Skrine from Cleveland. They brought in Marcus Gilchrist. They revamped their entire secondary, arguably better than it was when Rex Ryan was there. Now, granted, these guys are a little older. While we're talking about that, let's get into injuries real quick because Geno Smith got punched in the face by his own teammate. Broken jaw, out 6 to 10 weeks. Former teammate, now Buffalo Bill.
He was cut immediately.
I believe his name is Ick.
Impala?
Chevy Impala. Yeah. Some other injuries. Dee Milliner reportedly out 8 weeks after he tore a tendon in his wrist. Stephen Ridley had ACL surgery in the offseason. He might not be ready for week one. Devin Smith has several broken ribs. He hasn't really had much time to work with the team. So how much impact he's going to have right out the gate, probably very little.
Geno Smith, you want some stats?
Let's throw some Geno Smith stats.
The end of the season, week 14, 87 quarterback rating. 88 the following week, 83, 158 in week 17.
Near perfect quarterback rating. Totally irrelevant if you play fantasy football, but read me that stat line real quick.
All right, week 17, he had 358 yards. with 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
All right, so all the Geno haters out there.
He did lose a fumble, though.
All the Geno haters out there, take note on that, okay? All these people are talking about how it's a godsend that Geno Smith got hurt or punched in his face or sucker punched or whatever you want to say. What I'm going to tell you is Ryan Fitzpatrick is not your answer, okay? He might be a good fill-in player, but he's not the answer in New York. He's in his 30s, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe he's here to buy us time to find someone.
Okay. Now, what I will tell you is a lot of people had quarterbacks rated high in this year's draft, okay? One of my top quarterbacks, and if I'm not mistaken, if you go back and read some of my articles, once again, shameless plug, themgfootball.blogspot.com, you will see that I had Bryce Petty rated very highly amongst these quarterbacks. I do not think that Winston or Mariota are going to be above average or maybe not even average starters in the NFL. But what I will tell you is I think Bryce Petty could and should be a good quarterback in this league. One more thing to report. Sheldon Richardson is suspended. Violating substance abuse. He should be able to... Yes, and then a bye, so he'll be back week 6 against the Redskins. Let's go to the next team, Iron Mike.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's talk about this. Troy Polamalu retired. Arguably, the face of not only the franchise, but the NFL for the last decade.
He's been there.
Listen, you say the name Troy Polamalu and you think of 2 things. Really cool Head and Shoulders commercials.
At the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I was going to say jumping over the line and sacking the quarterback on the snap.
Wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey.
And Head and Shoulders. let's get some injuries here real quick. Shane Sweesham, their kicker, placed on the IR, tore his ACL in a preseason game. Recent news, Bruce Gradkowski dislocated a finger. He's out for an undetermined amount of time, but... All you Michael Vick fans, hold your hands up and rejoice. He's in Pittsburgh today. I don't know if he's working out or if he's just there to meet with the team. Once we get more news, we will let you know. Marquise Pouncey suffered a fractured left ankle. He's out an extended amount of time. He's probably going to need surgery. This affects the team because Roethlisberger now has to develop chemistry with a brand new center. And the running game is going to suffer, even though Le'Veon Bell... had his suspension reduced to 2 games, it's still very important that they find a sufficient replacement. And getting on the offensive line as well, starting tackle Mike Adams has a back injury. He's questionable for week 1. That could be a problem as well, especially since D'Angelo Williams is a running back.
They signed Doug Ligurski this morning.
Doug Ligurski is the son of Bronco Ligurski. I believe he played for the Steelers before. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that. I'll give you $1 if I'm wrong. You give me $1 if I'm right.
Nope.
What team did he play for?
Oh, I'm just saying I'm not giving you $1.
Oh, all right. So no more board bets. Also, Stephon Tuitt is dealing with a sprained ankle. He's questionable for week 1. I don't see that being a huge issue.
You know what I see being a huge issue? Dick LeBeau being gone. Defensive coordinator. The team was terrible last year defensively, and now he's gone. They're bringing in a new coordinator, Keith Butler.
That's who I was looking for, Keith Butler. Does he have experience in the NFL besides coordinator? Any other jobs? We're gonna look that up real quick.
I've never heard of him.
Listen, Dick LeBeau. He was a good defensive coordinator. The problem is there wasn't much productivity coming from that defense in the last 2 seasons. The secondary wasn't what it used to be. They weren't getting as much of a pass rush. They bring in Bud Dupree, a first-round pick. I wasn't too high on him, but after watching him play in the preseason, I think he's going to be a good player. And they pair him with James Harrison, who they brought back. And the pass rush could be something special. Okay.
James Harrison can still play.
James, and he doesn't let his kids have participation trophies. That's important.
Winning is everything.
If you ain't first, you're last. Ricky Correct. Bobby said it. Let's go to
Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins. They signed the big name in free agency this year, Ndamukong Suh. They bring in,
which is huge for their defense.
Huge for their defense, because now you have him paired with Oliver Vernon, who's an underrated defensive lineman.
Correct.
And Cameron Wake, who's a pass rush monster. He's getting up there in age, but he didn't have much tread on his tires. He played in the CFL. That's a joke. If anybody watches the CFL, let me know. I'll drive to your house and I'll smack you in the mouth. So, you know, adding a guy like Sue just changes the whole look of your defense. And their secondary is pretty good.
It's pretty good, but they lost Luis Delmas.
Luis Delmas is gone for the year. He tore his ACL?
I believe so.
I got it right here. Okay, and we have dummy alert. Deion Jordan suspended for the whole season. He violated the substance abuse policy.
He hasn't made much of a contribution since he came into the league.
Right? Listen, I mean, Miami thought something of him. They traded up from the middle of the draft to, I believe, like 6th or 7th overall, maybe even 3rd, to take Deion Jordan. He's
a
freak athlete. I guess they just couldn't put the parts together, and you know, like I said, he's suspended for the season. Rookie receiver Devontae Parker, their first round pick, he's recovering from foot surgery. He's not expected to miss time. The problem is he hasn't been on the field with the team. He doesn't have a good rapport yet with Tannehill. So with that said, you know, they move Mike Wallace out of Miami, shipping to Minnesota. They bring in Kenny Stills. They add Jordan Cameron. Jarvis Landry's there. All these guys are building chemistry with him, and the young guy, Devontae Parker, it's going to take him some time to really build on that, and it could be some time before you really see him come to fruition and be something.
One thing I just want to throw in that you didn't mention in Buffalo, they brought in Charles Clay as well, who used to be on this Miami team.
Listen,
nothing special, but, right, Jordan Cameron's going to have to replace what he did.
Now, going back to Buffalo real quick, if you look at the quarterbacks there, Matt Castle, Tyrod Taylor, and
EJ Manuel.
EJ the Bomb Manuel.
Terrible.
The thing is, having a guy like Charles Clay in the middle of the field as a safety blanket will give them some security, and, you know, it makes for some pressure to be alleviated off of the running game and off of Sammy Watkins.
Do you think that Damian Williams takes into Lamar Miller's cuts this year? And
I could see.
This is Lamar Miller's year?
I can see. I mean, listen, they said they want to give Lamar Miller a bigger workload. They had No'Shawn with him last year, and it was a pretty even split until No'Shawn got hurt. And then even then, I think he was only averaging about 15 touches a game.
It wasn't much.
Miami wants to increase that. Damian Williams is a decent player. The name to watch in the offseason is rookie running back Jay Ajayi from Boise State, I believe he went.
Correct.
Okay. The murmurs I'm hearing from Miami, they took Ajayi pretty high, I think 3rd or 4th round. And the issue they're having is that Ajayi isn't learning the playbook. He's not picking up on run block schemes.
Early in the season, he wasn't practicing with the first or the second team.
Which is a problem.
Yes.
Okay, and I literally don't think he's seen the field in the preseason. They're not happy with him. And if you have a guy like Damian Williams who's being productive when he was supposed to be a third back or a fourth back, why do you need this guy on the team? Why do you need Jay Ajayi on the
team?
Maybe
you just need some time.
Listen, but when you're expecting a lot out of a guy, he was a 5th-round pick. So there's not too much invested in him. So what's to say if he doesn't pick up the way they want him to, they don't just let him go. He's had knee issues already in college. There was questions about his knees during the combine when he was doing physicals, which is probably why his draft stock dropped a little bit. But he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a decent runner. 6'2", 221. I mean, Miami could cut him and not even have to worry about it. It's a 5th-round pick. There's not a lot of money on the table.
Miami's going to be an interesting team this year on both sides.
I like Miami a lot. I think they can compete with New England.
It's a shame they're in that division because New England's going to win it.
Right. I don't think there's any question in that. I think it's who finishes in second and potentially grabs a wild card.
No, AFC All right, North.
Let's go to the next team.
Arizona Cardinals.
Carson Palmer's back from injury.
They got Mike Iupati.
They brought in Mike Iupati. What else do we got? Injury notes. I know Chris Johnson recently signed. Has a hamstring injury, which is no good. I don't think there's any guaranteed money in his contract, so they could let him go and not be worried about it. Who else? What do we got here?
Well, they signed Iupati. Iupati
was their big free agency haul. He's expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. He's recovering from arthroscopic knee surgery. Darrell Washington suspended indefinitely by the NFL for a domestic violence arrest. We know how I feel about this shit. Michael Floyd, their big-time young wide receiver, has 3 broken fingers on his left hand. He's expected to miss at least week one, which could be a big hit because Larry Fitzgerald's getting a little bit older. You've seen the drop-off in his productivity. They have Jerron Brown and John Brown.
John Brown's the number 3 guy. He would step in for Floyd.
I believe Jerron Brown would step into 2. They like John Brown in the slot because he's like 5'4". So he's a speedy guy. Now, you talk about the running backs. Andre Ellington was banged up all last year. They're saying he's healthy.
They're saying he's healthy now.
In the very little tape I've watched on Arizona, he looks good in the preseason. David Johnson was the question mark. He's been banged up a little bit. He's a rookie that they drafted, and that's why they brought in Chris Johnson as an insurance policy, but now Chris Johnson's banged up. So my worry is that this offense is going to struggle if there's no running game and if there's nobody to back up or to accent the style of Andre Ellington.
Well, David Johnson was impressive his last preseason game. He had 13 carries for 66 yards, and he caught 2 passes. So he's getting there. There's help coming.
He's starting to get healthier, so they're trying to work his way back in. Week 3 is when you're really going to see all teams in the NFL, how guys are going to be used, how much time they're going to play. Most of the teams are going to play 3 quarters. Some will play into the 4th. But that's the real gauge for any players who you're questioning whether or not are going to see an enhanced role, a decreased role, whether or not they're healthy, how your team's going to look, things like that. Let's go to the next team.
Washington Redskins.
The Washington Redskins. We already talked about them bringing in Junior Gallette. I really like Washington's defense. The thing I don't like in Washington, RG3.
It's a big problem.
Huge problem. RG3 looks like garbage. He looked like garbage a year before. And if this guy's going to come out in press conferences and say he's the best quarterback in the league, listen, I know you have to be confident in yourself. Don't make yourself look like an idiot. You're the best quarterback in the league? I'm sorry. I could sneeze in a room full of 300 people and find a better quarterback than you. Okay? Key injuries on offense. Niles Paul is on the IR. He dislocated his ankle in a preseason game, out for the season. Logan Paulson is on the IR, another tight end. He had severe turf toe. They brought in Derek Carrier. He's going to be their second tight end behind Jordan Reed. The issues here, there's not much depth for RG3. DeSean Jackson sprained an ACL joint during training camp. Did you hear the story? Did you hear how he got hurt?
I did not.
He was hitting the sled. Separated his shoulder.
Why is a wide receiver hitting the sled?
Beats the hell out of me.
Don't you stop doing that in high school?
Neither one of us played too much in high school, so. DeSean Jackson should be ready to play week one, but that's something that it could be a lingering injury for the whole year.
They had 10 draft picks this year.
Let's also note that one of last year's draft picks, cornerback Rashad Breeland, is suspended. He was also hurt. He should be back week 2, but if his injury is anything sustainable, that's gonna be long-lasting. He could be out for a longer amount of time. But it was good that he was suspended because it's going to give him time to rest. Not that any suspension is good, but he can't force his way back onto the field. Rashad Breeland's supposed to be their nickel behind D'Angelo Williams and Chris Culliver, I believe.
Probably fighting for a spot with Emerson.
The defense, like I was saying, is a very intriguing defense. They have a young guy that they brought in, and this is something we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about off-season moves. We're going to talk about impact rookies, the NFL draft. So make sure you guys tune in next week. But they have
Chris Culliver. You were right.
They have a young defensive pass rusher in Preston Smith from Mississippi, Mississippi State, that I thought was good enough to be drafted in the first round. He slipped to Washington, and they got a steal in him. They have Ryan Kerrigan. They let Brian Arakpo leave. They didn't want to give him a long-term contract. He was very injury-prone. Arakpo winds up in Tennessee. Their pass rush, I don't see anyone being able to really
get to the quarterback. They have Terrence Knighton in the middle, who's most likely going to be there to stop the run.
He's their nose tackle. But then Jason Hatcher is an underrated player. He's a little bit older.
He is.
But he's good, okay? Stephen Peya, I don't know if that's really how you say his name, but he's very underrated. He comes over from Chicago. He's had a pretty productive career in Chicago. But then you add guys like Perry Riley, Trent Murphy, and Ryan Kerrigan. I think this is going to be one of the underrated defenses in the league. I think they're going to finish in the top 10 among sacks. Mark that down. I said it here first. Washington is awful. I'm probably wrong. I don't know if you guys have noticed the trend of me second-guessing myself after I say something. Let's go to the next team.
Atlanta Falcons. Not much here.
I mean,
new coach.
Yeah, they let Mike Smith go. They bring in Dan Quinn.
Which is a great decision.
Great decision. Their defense has struggled forever. Name a guy on Atlanta that's had more than 10 sacks for a season.
I can't.
I'll wait.
In recent history, I can't.
Right. Now,
don't wait.
Croy Bierman might be their best pass rusher. Come on, let's get serious. They bring in Vic Beasley, the rookie from Clemson. I think he was one of the more underrated players. He's a little undersized, but he's got a high motor. He's a strong guy. I think he makes an immediate impact, especially under Dan Quinn. They want to use him the way that Dan Quinn used Bruce Irvin in Seattle, and he's going to wreak havoc on offenses. You're getting back a healthy Julio, who was banged up a little bit last season, if I'm not mistaken. Roddy White was banged up. He's going to be healthy.
No, he's not. Roddy White is not playing right now.
He had a minor procedure done on his shoulder. He should be ready for week one.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken. Okay. Now, the thing that they do not have is a reliable running game. Steven Jackson walks. He's still a free agent. Second-year player Devonta Freeman hasn't impressed a lot. He also hasn't been on the field too much, and neither has the rookie running back that they brought in, Tevin Coleman from Indiana. Neither one of these guys has been on the field. I think they both had hamstring or quad injuries. If you don't have a running back that's on the field, are you running five wide the whole time? Is Antoine Smith going to run the ball for you? He's like 35.
Nobody in that backfield has showed up yet this year.
They're waiting for somebody to break out, and that's something we could talk about a little bit more next week because I want to dive into Tevin Coleman. The offensive line's still awful. There's nothing else you could really talk about.
No.
Jake Matthews is the only player on that team that should be in the NFL.
He needs to step up.
Next, we're going to move to second-year player, I believe. Who are we going to next?
Baltimore Ravens.
Next team.
Indianapolis Colts.
Indy. They brought in Andre Johnson, something we'll talk about, like I said, again, next week. The offense got better. Got a lot better.
Bringing Frank Gore, Andre Johnson.
I don't know if the protection got better, but they got better. They added weapons for Andrew Luck. It's something he needed. They still have their young guys. They locked up T.Y. Hilton for a 5-year extension. He's there to stay. And, I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs again.
On the other side of the ball, Robert Mathis returned to practice.
That's big for them because their defense has been abysmal.
And he's a leader. He's a leader on the defense.
He's one of their veteran guys and one of the only guys that could get to the quarterback. Also, Vic Ballard is recovering from his torn Achilles. He's questionable to play week one. I don't think that's going to be an issue for them. They have depth at running back.
He was on the field the other day.
Was he?
He was.
All right. So we don't really
have He'll be ready.
I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem. No. All right, so let's move. We talked about the Jets.
We did talk about the Jets.
The Chargers, the biggest offseason story of them with them, it's starting to get down to the wire on whether or not they're going to sign this contract to stay in San Diego with a new building or if they're going to move to L.A. I know the
after plan, this season.
Right. The plans that are in place right now with L.A., they need two teams to agree to move. They're not going to open a stadium with one. They need two. Now, the Rams, who we'll talk about later, the owner of the Rams, Stan Kroenke, has another proposal in place to build a stadium in Inglewood, California. So he could move regardless. The Rams are trying to fight that. St. Louis is trying to fight that. They have plans for almost a $1 billion stadium ready to go. I think it was $999 million. It's, from what I've seen, a beautiful stadium. The fans want them to stay. There's a lot of fans out in L.A. The owners have to vote two-thirds, have to vote in favor of letting any team move. Philip Rivers just signed a long-term deal. So if they're moving, he's going with them. I don't see that being an issue. I think the real question mark is whether or not these owners are going to let the Rams move, not even the Chargers. I think that the Chargers will be the first one to sign that contract. Okay. The issue with the Rams is the Rams moved from LA to St. Louis in 95, if I'm not mistaken. So 20 years ago. Why would the owners let them move back to the biggest market in the NFL? Second biggest market in the NFL.
Why not? It makes more money for everybody.
No, it doesn't. Kroenke's money hungry, and if he wanted to make the money, he should have stayed in LA. He has one of the smallest fan bases in the country, but it's a profitable stadium.
It's a baseball place.
It's a profitable stadium. Next team, St. Louis Rams, my team. St. Louis Rams, I think
we might go to L.A.
We might go. I don't see it, my personal opinion, and once again, Iron Mike will tell you my personal opinion is usually wrong, but there is a chance they're going to go. I don't think they're going to go. I don't see it happening. I don't see all the owners passing that vote. Quick injury notes, Todd Gurley just got cleared for practice. Gurley is the first-round rookie drafted by the Rams. They're going to ease him into his work. We'll talk about him more next week, but don't expect to see him take on a full load until halfway through the season, maybe longer.
When is their bye?
Week 5 or 4.
Sometime around then.
Yes. Tough opening schedule for them. First 4 games are brutal. Second year, cornerback E.J. Gaines will miss the whole season. He had a Liz Frank injury and underwent surgery to repair it. That becomes a little bit of an issue because now you're going to see Tremaine Johnson, who was injured last year but also struggled a lot playing outside corner. He's going to go back to the number 2 corner opposite Janoris Jenkins, who the Rams are looking to lock up for a long-term deal before the season's over. They don't want him to hit free agency. They believe a lot in him. But you're going to see Jenkins and Tremaine Johnson as your 1 and 2 corners. LaMarcus Joyner, who was our nickel linebacker, is going to play nickel corner now. And Marcus Roberson and potentially Mark Barron, depending on how Barron's injury is going, are going to inherit that nickel linebacker role. It's a big shakeup. And the defense hasn't looked good. If you go to Cover32.com and look at the St. Louis Rams page. I'm covering the Rams for Cover32. Give it a read. I'm putting some good stuff out there.
Shameless
plug. But you will see that I talked a lot about the Rams pass rush struggling this offseason. They haven't registered a sack yet, and one of the things that me and Iron Mike found out about last season was they only had...
Make them read it.
There you go. Go read the article.
Next up, Cleveland Browns.
Well, real quick, I want to touch on St. Louis. The Rams have a very young offensive line. Be on the lookout for that to be a problem. Next story.
Cleveland Browns.
Any injury notes?
Injury notes? No.
No. Josh Gordon is out for the year. He's suspended. Next team.
Next team up is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville Jaguars. The main thing that I wanted to talk about, I'm not going to wait until next week to do it. Dante Fowler Jr., third overall pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe he was the third, right? Winston, Mariota, Fowler.
He was the first defensive player.
Edge pass rusher. Very, very good player, okay? First day of minicamp. Tears his ACL, okay? Now, he wasn't under contract. Jacksonville could have went out, and they could have said, hey, look, get healthy. We're not giving you a contract right now. Jacksonville is a class act organization. They went to the hospital and gave him a fully guaranteed contract while he was in the hospital. They're invested into him. He's a good player, and I think he's going to be a cornerstone for their defense.
What do you think about Blake Bortles?
I think he's awful. He's drawing comparisons to Big Ben, and I don't see it. Next team.
Me either. Weak arm. Oakland Raiders.
Oakland Raiders. We'll talk about their rookies incoming. Andre Holmes is in danger of missing week one. Who cares? Michael Crabtree is their number two. Any other stories we should know about Oakland? Khalil Mack, amazing year last year. Look for him to be even better than last year. Jack Del Rio comes in as the new head coach. Why do teams keep hiring Jack Del Rio?
I'm not sure.
God awful. Have,
I mean, it's Jacksonville. Nobody's had success in Jacksonville.
I think his best coaching job was in the replacements. He was a head coach in the replacements. I believe. Don't quote me on that.
I don't believe so. He might have.
He might have. Carolina. Let's talk about Kelvin Benjamin tore his ACL.
Huge.
Out for the year. Huge blow. You're going to see Devin Funchess, the rookie receiver from Michigan, come in. He's going to have to make an immediate impact because there's a bunch of guys on the team that probably don't even belong in the USFL. Okay? Who's Philly Brown? Tell me who Philly Brown is. Maybe I'll talk about some targets. Jericho Cotchery. Greg Olsen's going to see an influx of targets. He may be the number two tight end this year behind Rob Gronkowski. Next team.
Detroit Lions.
Detroit. They lose Ndamukong Suh. They lose Nick Fairley to St. Louis. They made a trade to bring in Haloti Ngata, but he's older. He's getting old. He's not going to be there too much longer. They brought in some young guys to replace these two defensive tackles. The defense is still pretty good. DeAndre Levy is one of the best inside linebackers in the league right now. He's a monster. Calvin Johnson's going to be fully healthy. You're going to see a little bit more of a balanced attack on offense. They brought in Amir Abdullah. Joique Bell is still a little banged up. He's recovering from an injury. But I think they're going to try to alleviate some pressure from Stafford. They want to make it easier for him to be able to throw the ball. They have the running backs to do it. They could throw to the backside of the backfield. They're all pretty good at that. Haloti Ngata is questionable for week one. We just talked about them dealing for him. He has a nagging hamstring injury. There's not much else to talk about after that. We're running down to the gun. We got two teams left.
Chicago Bears.
They bring in a new head coach, John Fox.
I like John Fox.
I love John Fox. Okay. Injury notes. Rookie receiver Kevin White could potentially sit out the whole season. Ankle injury? Shin injury?
Shin.
He might need surgery. They're trying to evaluate him on a day-by-day basis. John Fox doesn't really like to rush his rookies into playing. He doesn't think they're reliable. He doesn't necessarily trust them. But then again, he's never really taken a rookie receiver this high.
And you saw that with Cody Latimer last year.
It's going to be interesting to see how they handle this situation, especially since he's a new head coach. Brandon Marshall traded to the Jets. Jay Cutler has built a pretty good rapport with Alshon Jeffrey. Forte is a free agent next year. He's an older guy. We're going to see if Jeremy Langford can, you know, kind of carry some load to alleviate a little bit of the pressure from Forte. Last team.
Last team up is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Let me just start off by saying Andy Dalton is awful. Okay? Quick injury notes. Vontaze Burfict will not be ready for week one. He had microfracture surgery.
Never trust the ginger.
And Cedric Buehe, rookie offensive lineman, has a knee injury. He should be out for a few games. They're not 100% sure on that. Any other notes that we missed, Iron Mike?
Well, let's see here. We talked about Arian Foster.
Yes, we
did. Cincinnati, we had no injuries.
Let's go through some injuries real quick to see if I missed anything. Matt Elam from Baltimore, torn bicep. Ryan Clady, Denver, torn ACL. That's going to be a big hit for Peyton Manning. They made a few trades to bring in some linemen. I don't see that being anything that's going to be a huge upgrade to help them out. Minnesota's offensive tackle, Phil Lodeholt, torn Achilles out for the year. Anything
Reggie
else?
Wayne.
Reggie Wayne, big, big news, and we're going to leave you on this, has signed a one-year deal with the Patriots. Look for that to be a big impact. It could help the running game. It could help Gronkowski. It could mean that Julian Edelman has a huge season. It could mean that Reggie Wayne has a huge season.
It's going to help everybody.
It makes the offense better. He's a veteran guy. Pair him with Tom Brady. It's just another weapon that's going to bring him to the Super Bowl. Listen, that's all the time we got. I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you to tune in and listen to this podcast every week. If you're listening to it now, I want you to go on iTunes, on Stitcher, on whatever the hell you're on. Download, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating. I don't care if you hate me. Give me a 5-star rating and then tell me to go play in traffic, that I suck as an analyst. I don't know what I'm talking about.
3 steps. Tell them again.
I threw my phone down the stairs. I don't want that shit to vibrate. We appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us, but we're doing this for free because this is what we want to do. We love football, okay?
Wait, I'm not getting paid?
No. Iron Mike makes the best bagels in the world. If you don't believe me, send me your email address with your home address. We'll free some bagels. We'll come by and we'll throw them at your house. That's all the time we got. Thank you for tuning in to the On the Clock podcast. My name is Matt Geiger. For Iron Mike, thank you for listening. And tune in next week when we talk about off-season moves and impact rookies.
You're On the Clock with Matt Geiger, only on Ignotainment Media Network. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire Ignotainment podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man Behind the 8 Ball, and more at ignotainment.com.